So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it, all about control. And if you can take it, all about your debt. And if you can play it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it? I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can shake me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run, like a clueless bitch from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I make the rules. So move on out, you can die like a fool. Try to figure out what my mood's gonna be. Come on over, son, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay. Cause I am the game and I want to play.
MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com, and believe me, you guys do not want to miss what is going on at LouisvillePolitics.com. And while you're there, make sure you check on a few of our sponsors to help us pay for the show. And, you know, join the RSS feed and the email newsletter. We'll have everything sent right to your email inbox to save you the trouble of even clicking online. How's that, man? You ain't got to type us in no more. Astonishing news coming out of Louisville. Concerning Jerry Abramson, apparently Jerry Abramson has decided that he is not going to run for governor, which, I'm quite honest with you, I told people this months ago, Jerry Abramson knew that he could never run for governor here in this state. That's why he never has. The only reason he became lieutenant governor is because of Steve Beshear, his very close friend, if you will. They go back many, many years and have some personal things in common. So anyway, Beshear is the only reason Jerry Abramson became lieutenant governor. There was no doubt in my mind he wasn't going to be foolish enough to run for governor. He made that announcement today, but what was interesting about it was the way that he made the announcement. Now, he came to claim and spent his whole political career here in Louisville, Kentucky. And he made the announcement in Elizabethtown, of all places. That is... You know, that's pretty interesting. He doesn't make the announcement in Louisville because he knows that he'll have to answer questions in Louisville from media. I mean, let's face facts here, folks. I'm going to pat myself on the back. I've got a pretty long arm, and I want to make sure I tell you guys why. It's not that I have an ego that's a mile wide that needs to be satisfied for some sort of gain. But the reality is this. Jerry Abramson gave up a shot at his third and final term for mayor of merged government here in Louisville to go sit by Steve Beshear and get paid to do absolutely nothing, which is absolutely what he does, regardless of what the media tries to tell you he's doing. And I've got to tell you folks something. He did that for a reason. Because Jerry Abramson got caught speaking poorly about the citizens of Louisville and primarily the west end of Louisville. We added a story. Jerry Abramson was speaking in West Virginia, and he decided that he was going to say that the problem with downtown and West Louisville was because it was getting poorer, blacker, and older. Now, you can go to edspringson.com and punch that term in the search engine, it'll bring it up for you. We outed that. Once that happened, mainstream media did what they always do. They follow our stories and then decide they're going to go ahead and do a story of their own based on our information. Of course, with no credit. We're used to that. But the backlash against Jerry Abramson from the African-American community and the West End residents was astonishing. Because here he was, Jerry Abramson had been lying to the West End and breaking promises for more than 20 years. He had been playing that garbage game, buying votes in the West End and everything else through people like Clarence Yancey, Denise Bentley, and a host of others. When he got caught with that, there wasn't enough money to make sure he got reelected, and he didn't want to take a chance on losing his third term. So he took the easy way out and went with Steve Beshear. Now, he says that he's not going to run for governor today. Well, not everything is as it seems there either, folks. 2 weeks ago, we did our first part of what I called Mayor Fisher's West Side Story, Lies and Broken Promises. It was basically outing a particular facility, a worker training facility, if you will, that Mayor Fisher had put together a group on and everything else. You guys really need to read the story. I don't want to spend an hour giving you the background on this. A lot of you have already read it. But here's the deal. Essentially, Louisville needs a skilled workforce. We have great opportunity given to us to use federal funds, mind you, to build a work trainer facility, to build a skilled and educated workforce that was going to allow people like Ford, GE, UPS, and a whole host of others to grow. It's going to create good middle-class income jobs. Fisher was on board, but as usual, Fisher started playing politics, as Jerry Abramson before him, and the Democratic machine, and I dare say it, I'll use the words that I'm going to be accused of all kinds of stuff after this, but the Jewish Mafia Democrats run Louisville, Kentucky. That's just the way it is. Now, I'm sorry if you don't like that terminology, but that's just the way it is. But we had the opportunity to do everything. Greg Fisher and his sister Lynn decided they were going to go ahead and pull the plug. It was going to help the historical Simmons College, a black college here in Louisville. It has great historic significance to the African-American community here in Louisville. It was going to help them. It was going to give us an educated workforce. It was going to be in the heart of West End or right on the fringes of it in a high-traffic corridor, blah, blah, blah. Everything was set to go in motion, but Greg Fisher pulled the plug. He bought Kevin Cosby off to make sure Kevin Cosby backed him on. Kevin Cosby is the African-American president of Simmons College, who just sold out the West End for his own personal financial gain. And we're going to get into details of how much he was paid and who paid him next week. But here's the thing. We knew that there had to be more to the story. There has been a lot going on behind the scenes, and we haven't even put this story out yet. This is part of our ongoing series, which we got into part two this week. And I was planning on waiting for a week or two to put out part three, but I may go ahead and do that tomorrow, and I'll tell you why. Because there's a lot more to Jerry Abramson not running for governor, and it has everything to do with the work trainer facility. Wow, let's go to the phones right away. By the way, folks, 858-683-1326 and 502-805-0334 are the call-in numbers. For you guys in the listening queue, just hit that little number one on your dial pad. There's always a few dozen of you. We appreciate it, and we're already getting one of them now. This is our 805 number. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Ed, it's Mayo.
How are you, Mayo?
Pretty good. I just didn't know. I mean, I thought it was funny. The Abramson announcement, came about. And then also right after that, KEMA, Kentucky Emergency Medical Management, or Kentucky Emergency Management Association, $5.7 million in misappropriated funds used for some Hardee's, alcohol, some other stuff.
Yep.
So I didn't know if that was something you were going to be getting into later, or it came out.
You know, actually, I wasn't. Actually, I was. I have read the story. I mean, we can get into that if you'd like. I mean, I've read the story, and I understand it. But that is just an example of what we've been doing at state level. You know, our auditor, Adam Edelin, once again has done a fantastic job outing these kind of expenditures and misappropriations of government dollars. The only question I've really got, because the deal with Kima is a constant one, but the same constant deal is that none of these people ever get prosecuted. None of them ever go to jail for anything. You know, they resign in disgrace, you know, but behind the scenes, somebody takes care of them. That's exactly what's going on with Jerry Abramson right now, essentially. You know, so what my question would be isn't that we know that they spent over $5 million and misappropriated over $5 million, and they actually outlined at least one of the last parties they did. At one point, it cost over $100,000, and the guy that's running Kima was given a free room at the hotel, at the Hilton. So, you know, we know about all of that. You know, but why are we not holding these people accountable, much like we didn't hold Barbara Shanklin accountable? What do they all have in common, Mayo?
No responsibility, no accountability, misappropriation of taxpayers' dollars, how long of a list you want.
and all Democrats and all part of the liberal machine that we're talking about.
Yep.
That's the size of it. That's the size of it. You know, now the only exception to that rule when it comes to that misappropriation is Richie Farmer. We know Richie Farmer was Republican, and look what he did. Thank goodness Jamie Comer is the Agriculture Secretary now, and he's fixing that department as we speak. But, I mean, realistically, Richie Farmer was just dumb as rocks and thought he could do anything because he's a golden boy, a former UK basketball player who'd been riding on a reputation for too many years. You know, but he's the exception to the rule. Everything else has been primarily Democrats and a liberal machine right here in Kentucky. So, you know, that's what they have in common. You know, I'm curious. I want you to stick around because I want you to give me some feedback on what's going on with this, because this thing with Jerry Abramson is really fantastic. And I tell you, the reason I bring up the West End story and the broken promises and lies by the Democrats and the stories we've been doing at LouisvillePolitics.com, this has a lot to do with that. Because Jerry Abramson announced that he will not run for governor in 2015, said he has no plans to run any future office, but he will never say never, which is always doublespeak, because Jerry Abramson always uses doublespeak like that, and then does again. What people are missing here is a real simple thing that the mainstream media that reported this story doesn't want to put out there. Jerry Abramson is still eligible to run for one more term for mayor here in Louisville. So here's the scenario. He said that he's not going to run for governor because he wants to be an education warrior who's going to help the Commonwealth develop a more skilled and educated workforce. Those are his words. Here's the thing, folks. This is exactly what we've been putting out there in our Mayor Fisher West Side story series, because Governor Steve Beshear made a commitment. He is the president of the Southern Governors Association. And their conference topic this year is advanced American manufacturing in the American South. Advanced manufacturing in the American South. The Southern Governors Association will meet right here in Louisville September the 6th through the 9th. Now, what's been going on is Governor Beshear has been trying to get three workplace training facilities throughout the state. One of them is a no-brainer. It's going close to Toyota. Then we have another no-brainer that was supposed to go to Louisville. The only problem we've got in Louisville is where to go. And that's where the whole Simmons College, the JCTC, Mayor Fisher, and the Democrat machine screwed up. Because it was going to go in 8th in Kentucky, which is going to be a boon to the West End. It was going to qualify for millions of dollars in federal money because it's part of the Park Hill Industrial Corridor, which is what the feds are trying to build up, is areas like that. Okay, so all of this is in place. But I find it interesting that Abramson says he wants to be an education warrior who helps the Commonwealth develop a more skilled and educated workforce. The plan is simple. He stops being lieutenant governor in 2015. Steve Beshear is going to make the announcement at the Southern Governors Association conference next month of where these three places are going to be. And I know where it's going in Louisville. Greg Fisher. You can thank Greg Fisher, you can thank Kevin Cosby, you can thank Lynn Fisher, and you can thank those daggone ilk that bought off Kevin Cosby and gave the money to get rid of him. And the West End can thank the rich white East End community leadership for screwing them out of their rightful place at the economic table. Because this workplace training facility is now going to be part of U of L. But it's not going on the U of L main campus. It's going to the U of L Belknap campus to be close to their engineering facility out there. That's where it's going. Larry Clark and Hal Rogers, when Greg Fisher pulled the plug at 8th and Kentucky, sources are telling us that since Greg Fisher pulled the plug at 8th and Kentucky, that they were going to tell him where it was going to go, or they were going to pull all the funding and nobody was going to get one. Greg Fisher is not happy because he played a game of blink and he lost JCTC, so his sister looks like the biggest fool that she really is, because Greg Fisher only did this because Lynn told him to. So now Jerry Abramson is going to go in, act like he's taking over this project on behalf of the governor and everything. He's going to try to sell it to we people in Louisville. This is the greatest thing in the world. But that's all Jerry Abramson is a salesman. I told Jerry Abramson on stage in the middle of a debate when we were debating when we were running for mayor, you can sell ice to an Eskimo, but the ice would still find a way to be delivered 3 weeks late and melted down to water. That's just the way it is, because Abramson cannot deliver on anything. He never has. So that's the plan, for Abramson to come in like a hero and sell this thing and then quietly bide his time, because you know we have a mayor's election next year, right, Mayo?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So Greg Fisher is going to run for his second term, and if he wins re-election, and he will, unless I have him indicted before then, and I'm working on it, but if he runs for re-election and wins, he's not going to seek a third term. Because Mayor Fisher made a deal with Jim King, one I'm not at liberty to discuss right now, and I'll discuss that in the next couple of weeks as soon as everything gets finalized. But there has been a major deal made between Greg Fisher and Jim King that I'm aware of, and I'll lay it out for you folks, I promise you. But you have to do everything the right way, and I've got to wait until it finalizes so that I can do it. But there's been a major deal made. Greg Fisher is going to be a two-term mayor, and he's going to put his full weight and support behind Jim King, hoping to have Jim King elected mayor in 2018. At that point, that's when Jerry Abramson comes back in. Jerry Abramson can't stand Jim King. He can't stand Greg Fisher. And Jerry Abramson wants to go out a hero. So when he says, you know, that never say never, that's what he means. He can't set up for the 2014 race because he can't piss off Greg Fisher, and he's got to go ahead and finish out with Steve Beshear because they agreed to that. But you can look for Jerry Abramson to try a one-term run in 2018 just to keep King and Fisher out. And that's the game plan. This is so much major news going on here, folks. I can't go into the details on that end of it. But rest assured, this is all part of that game we continue talking about. Your thoughts, Mayo?
Like I always say, kudos to you for keeping up with it. Don't know how you keep your sanity with some of it. And hopefully you get more people to join in with you, back you up, and, you know, help, you know, promote what you do.
Well, you got to understand, this is coordinated
frustration. Well, like and the game.
Well, I appreciate the sentiments. I really do. But this is normal. I mean, if people weren't backing me up, you know, I wouldn't have inside sources that can give me information that would lead me down the road I need to go to in a lot of cases. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's the thing. We've got plenty of people backing up. Anything that we do at Louisville Politics, to me, is a community event. Because you don't just randomly fall on the investigations every day like we do. Somebody helps you find that. So, you know, my thanks is to the community at large. Ed Springsteen don't need the ego and the stroke, but the community at large, those people who actually get involved, even though they may not want to put their name out there, even though they're scared of backlash, they're at least doing something in the only way they feel comfortable doing it. And I'm very blessed to have people like that in this community who are seeking a better way. But see, that's the whole deal here. You're talking about millions of dollars. Now, Jerry Abramson is going to go on this education thing, and he's going to be paid off by U of L. And he's going to be on U of L's payroll and never do a damn thing to reward him for all the garbage, lies, broken promises, you know, money that he stole, begged, borrowed, or stole to take care of his buddies. And now this is his reward for over 20 years of faithful, corrupt service. And then in 2018, if King decides to run and Fisher decides to back him, then Jerry Abramson re-enters politics and runs for Louisville mayor for one last term. That's the game, folks. That's the game. And we're going to get into details next week or the week after. And I've got this major thing that I just can't leak yet. I've got 95% sure of my information, which is usually good enough. But when you're going to go out on a situation where you're going to have a possibility of having people indicted and thrown in jail, you want to make sure you're 100%. So it's going to take me a few more days to get that out of 5%. But rest assured, we are going to get accountability in all of this. I just think it's amazing. You know, I really did. And the fact that Steve Beshear was angry, and I've got to give credit here to Steve Beshear. I really, really do. As critical as I am of our Democratic governor, Steve Beshear, the fact that he is still involved in even trying to force this issue says a lot for me anyway. This is something that could go away and nobody would be the wiser. But it is actually right for Kentucky to get these regional workplace training facilities in place so that we can get that skilled and educated workforce that our employers tell us that they need in order to grow and create new middle-class economy jobs. So I've got to give Steve Beshear some credit there. And the fact that, you know, when Greg Fisher thought he was going to pull this with Kevin Cosby and switch this out to favor his sister because she's chairman of JCTC and just thought he was God and found out he wasn't. I'll be honest with you. As much as I despise Steve Beshear, Jerry Abramson, and most of their ilk, I love the fact that Beshear said, you know what? You're not going to play me that way. I know how the game plays. Because he has been part of that game. He knows how that game plays. He shoved it right back on Fisher, said, screw you. Now we're going to put it here. Now UofL is the beneficiary, and because UofL is a beneficiary, and don't think there was an altruistic motive here, folks, because they know as soon as they make UofL a beneficiary, Abramson gets rewarded too. So there's still some play here in the game, but I like the fact that he told Greg Fisher to basically shove it. Now Greg Fisher is scrambling because he doesn't want the whole world to know. Him and Kevin Cosby are calling everybody and anybody all over Louisville trying to find out what the hell is going on, where I'm getting information. They're scared to death. They haven't called me because they know better. But I'm getting 20 phone calls a day from different people telling me that they continue to call them and try to harass them and all kinds of crazy stuff. It's hilarious to me because if they were doing their job right in the first place, we wouldn't have a problem. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, folks. Come back. We've got a whole lot more to talk about. So just stay tuned. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound and...
Well,
Oh, my goodness. Man, I tell you what, folks, you know, it really doesn't get any better from my seat than to see how comical these guys play the game. It just amazes me that so many people elect these clowns and that are so much in the dark. I just don't get it. I don't know what to say about it anymore. You know, you've got this whole deal with Jerry Abramson, Steve Beshear, Greg Fisher, Kevin Cosby. You got Larry Clark and Hal Rogers involved. You know, and in Clark and Rogers' defense, they wanted the damn thing here in Louisville. They wanted it at 8th and Kentucky. You know, Greg Fisher decided to alienate the Frankfurt guys who were going to make sure they got the federal funds to do it. And that, you know, of course, they're going to have control over whatever state funds they decide to put into this project. And Fisher says, nah, screw you. Don't like the location. We want to go ahead and do it at JCTC because my sister deserves it. I mean, how close are these guys? Is there more than a typical brother-sister relationship here? You know, there's a lot of people, and you know, I'm kind of making a joke about that, but, you know, I've had a few people call me and tell me that there's something not quite right about this brother-sister relationship. I don't know. But I think it's very funny because a lot of people think that Lynn Fisher is Greg Fisher's Valerie Jarrett. That's what they think. You know, Valerie Jarrett runs the White House for Barack Obama. He doesn't do anything. She's the one that makes all the decisions. And there's a whole lot of people here in Louisville who think that Lynn Fisher is trying to make all the decisions for Greg Fisher. And there's a hell of a lot of people who tell me how much she abuses what she perceives to be her power because her brother is mayor. Now, you guys make it that what you will. That's you. You know, but it's totally shocking to me that Greg Fisher actually thought that he could pull a power move on our governor and two state representatives. So, you know, give props to Larry Clark for standing up, too. And Hal Rogers for telling Greg Fisher to basically shove it. You know, I have to give them credit for that. You know, so, I mean, there are times where even I can get along with some of these Democrats. Even the corrupt Democrats do something right every now and then. So you got to give credit where it's due. You know, in the meantime, speaking of doing something right and wrong, we have, you know, I really hate to continue harping on this story, but we have even more on Barbara Shanklin. You know, by now, a lot of people have already seen the video where Aubrey Williams, Andrew Tutau, and, you know, we're at a sidebar conference, if you will, with Jim King and Michael Connell during the Barbara Shanklin trial, after which Barbara Shanklin turned around and tried to have Michael Connell recuse himself as legal counsel, you know, to give advice to Jim King and the Metro Council voting members because she didn't feel like she could get a fair trial. Well, if you remember, right after that sidebar, Mike O'Connell was livid, and demanded that Aubrey Williams go on record and tell everybody on record what he said to them in conference because he was so shocked and appalled. He accused Aubrey Williams of libel and slander and everything else you could do. Said his comments were out of line, preposterous, and slanderous. Well, nobody really knew at that time what brought on that tirade. And Michael Connell had every right to be angry. He did. Aubrey Williams decided that he wanted to go into this sidebar and basically talk about God and religion and morals and stuff. I'm not kidding you. This has no place in the courtroom, right? Separation of church and state. But Aubrey Williams went into the sidebar, into the bench conference, and he told Jim King and Michael Connell that Tuchel could not be trusted to tell the truth because he does not believe in God or in heaven and hell. I'm not kidding you. That's his defense. You know, the prosecuting attorney couldn't be trusted to tell the truth because he doesn't believe in God or in heaven or hell. So who got or what guides him morally? What compels him to tell the truth? That was his argument, a waste of time in a sidebar conference. Now, I understand Aubrey Williams is an ordained minister, and I use that minister thing in a very, very, very light way. There's nothing I have found in most cases from half of these clowns, like Aubrey Williams, Kevin Cosby, and a whole host of others, that have anything to do with God when it comes to what they do. Really, truthfully, I don't. Because I can find anything that's, I can't find anything that's godlike about any of the garbage that they do. And Aubrey Williams just proved it again. You know, so he goes on to say he will say anything. So here Aubrey Williams is saying that the Chow is basically an atheist who lies because he'll say anything to win his case. What did Williams just do? Remember last night we mentioned the word hypocrite. There you go. Williams has proved himself as a hypocrite again, but it's nothing new. We expect this from him. Michael Connell went on to say that Williams' comments were out of line, preposterous, slanderous. This has nothing to do with Tashao's religious beliefs. O'Connell got all over Williams trying to get him to repeat it for the record. Williams wouldn't do it. And then finally Williams broke down and said that he basically had accused O'Connell and King of bias, but he never mentioned the religious argument or any of the wording. As we go forward with this, the Metro Council, the Shanklin Seven, did not remove her from office. And this was the only kind of arguments they had. 18 people said she was guilty. But seven said that even though it was willful abuse and misconduct, we're not going to take her out of office. Because of the racism, the racial bias and the slant that Aubrey Williams brought to the table, and this kind of idiocy, that's misconduct. That is misconduct on the behalf of Aubrey Williams. You know, and O'Connell even went on further to say, and remember, O'Connell has also been a district and a circuit judge, though I have no respect much. I have but very, very little respect for him. But he did say, he did point out one thing, that this showed a lack of respect for the opposing counsel. And it's probably grounds for some kind of discipline or even removal. I think he should be disbarred. I think Aubrey Williams should be disbarred. Never have I seen anyone that's supposed to be an attorney make such a mockery system, a mockery of a court-like process in my life. As an attorney, he's supposed to bring good things there. He's violated all four of the canons of the Judicial Conduct Commission, but he won't be removed. I found that out with Katie King. She never got anything done to her, even though she had violated the law to get elected. Because the bar takes care of its own, and they will with Aubrey Williams. But it is very disturbing because the preamble to the Kentucky Rules of Professional Conduct for Attorneys. Now, you guys can go look at this yourself. I've done it 1,000 times. But it basically says that attorneys have to demonstrate respect for the legal system, for judges, for other lawyers, and public officials. So for anybody who wants to argue that this was not a courtroom, it was a court-like setting by public officials. Did Aubrey Williams demonstrate any respect for anybody in this situation? No, he did not. And, you know, that is a problem. So, you know, I'm curious to see if any charges are going to be brought up against him or filed with the Kentucky Bar Association or with the Judicial Conduct Commission. My bet is no, they won't be unless I file them. And quite honestly, I've got three or four that are getting ready to get filed now, and I don't have time to deal with the rest. So I'm probably not going to spend time on that one yet. But there's still plenty of time, folks. Statute of limitations is always there. We'll play some games with that. I want to get into some state issues. And by the way, I want to give a shout-out to our good friend Dale The Truth. He's in the chat room right now. He's logged in a couple minutes ago. Dale will be back with us tomorrow night and Thursday night. He's had a nice, long, extended vacation, and it's about damn time he gives my voice a rest. So I'll be glad to see him get back here. But he'll be joining us tomorrow night at 7. So welcome back, Dale. But I want to get into this other story because we continue talking about this joke of a Tea Party candidate, Matt Bevin. And I have to say a joke because the Tea Party has probably become as hypocritical as anyone I have seen in the political segment. I say that for a reason, and I don't mean to say that because I'm trying to back Mitch McConnell or Allison Lundigan Grimes. But the reality is, Matt Bevis spoke at Fancy Farm, and everybody thought he did a great job and really took Mitch McConnell to task. The problem with Matt Bevin is the commercial that Mitch McConnell just put out, he's getting chastised for slinging mud. Matt Bevin is saying that he's never had any tax liens against him or his business, his business or him personally, that he has never done anything that Mitch McConnell is accusing him of. And the sad reality is Matt Bevin is a liar. Flat out, bottom line, a liar. And I tell you why. Matt Bevin says he's a conservative. The Tea Party says they want him because he's a conservative who represents Tea Party values, and they want him to take away Mitch McConnell. Now, we have already pointed out more than once that Matt Bevin received and took advantage of a couple $100,000 of what I call bailout money. Now, the argument, and I've got to put this out there, because the argument from the Matt Bevin supporters is he did not take bailout money. The federal government didn't give him a dime to rebuild Bevin Bell. Well, when I talk about bailout money, folks, I talk about free government dollars. We all know about the TARP bailout, the $831 billion and all of that stuff. But Matt Bevin took $200,000 in Connecticut tax dollars to rebuild Bevin Bell last year when his company burned down and he didn't have fire insurance. He took $200,000. Now, let me ask you this, folks. Let me ask you this. If you're touting yourself as a conservative and you want the whole world to believe that you're a Tea Party, now Matt Bevin is a transplant to Kentucky about 12 or 13 years ago. He's not a born and bred Kentuckian. As a matter of fact, you know, Bevin Bell is located in Connecticut where he spent the majority of his life. His vacation home is in Maine where he spends the time he's not here. Bevin Bell is being rebuilt over the last year. Where was Matt Bevin at? Was he here in Kentucky every day? No. He was taking care of business in Connecticut. Now, I'm not saying that he wasn't in Kentucky at all, but I'm just saying, come on, let's be real here. Bevin Bell is a family business just in Connecticut. But he took $200,000 of tax money to rebuild Bevin Bell and claims to be a Tea Partier. Now, what makes that so interesting is when Matt Bevin decided he was going to announce that he wanted to run against Mitch McConnell in a primary, and the Tea Party jumped on board his bandwagon, he also said that he was going to contribute millions of dollars of his own money to this campaign. That's what was reported. If he's got millions of dollars to throw into a campaign, that you know, he has a very, very slight chance, if any, to win. Why did he need government funds to the tune of a measly $200,000 to rebuild his Bell business? What in here stinks about this equation, folks, and why are most people not really getting that? Because I really want to know. And then when you look at the reality, when Mitch McConnell came out with his commercial chastising, you know, Bevin Bell and Matt Bevin for tax liens and everything else, you know, you have to understand, Matt Bevin, according to published public records, had been telling the whole world since at least 2008. Since at least 2008, according to public news reports, Bevin had been touting himself as the president and leader of that company since 2008. So if he's the president and the leader of Bevin Bell since 2008 is what he said for the last 5 years, then all of a sudden he is saying now that no, wait. I wasn't officially the owner and officially took over the role as president until August of 2011. You can't have it both ways. He clearly made out for 5 years as acting president, telling the whole world, you know, letting the public reports go out there. He didn't mind if they were false reports saying that he was the president or the leader of Bevin Bell in 2008. He never took 1 second to correct that record that he knew about. No, he was proud. He was glad to be known as the president or leader of Bevin Bell from 2008 until today. He never corrected the record. So when we look at that and we start paying attention to these tax liens, I mean, Bevin Bell was actually the number one tax delinquent company in East Hampton, Connecticut, according to a May 2011 article in the Middletown Press. East Hampton hit Bevin Brothers with all kinds of tax liens. They had eight from the city and one from the IRS. They were dubbed as the number one tax delinquent firm in May of 2011. Now, Bevin is saying he didn't take over until August of 2011. But he never stopped the newspapers and published reports that said he was president since 2008 until he decided to run for office. Those back taxes rolled from 2005 to 2010. So as leader of Bevin Bell, whether he was official or not, but he didn't mind taking credit for being the leader of Bevin Bell during that period, delinquent taxes hit three of those years, 2008, 2009, 2010, while he was a leader. Tax liens. But this is a Tea Party candidate, right? You don't take a $200,000 government bailout when your business burns to the ground. Yeah, you do. You don't have delinquent tax liens. How dare someone say that somebody with the millions of dollars that Bevin has to put into a campaign, a primary race of all things, how could he possibly have tax liens? Guess what he does? So how in the world can any true Tea Partier sit here and back Matt Bevin? I'm not telling you guys that Matt Bevin is the devil. I most certainly don't think that's the case. On a personal level, from everything that I've seen about Matt Bevin's background, people that I've talked to about Matt Bevin, he's a pretty nice guy. But when you're a hypocrite to the level that Matt Bevin is, and the Tea Party is hypocrites for trying to label him as the Tea Party candidate, that's pathetic. That's pathetic. There is no real race. Matt Bevin is too easy to pick apart. He's not ready for primetime, folks. As much as the daggone Tea Party, pseudo Tea Party, I should say, because real Tea Party leaders like John Kemper know that Matt Bevin is fake. So I don't get it. I don't get how these guys can say that they're Tea Party and jump on this end's bandwagon. It's really interesting to me. And it's something we're going to pay attention to. Now, I've been approached. You know, there's a lot of people are asking me to get Matt Bevin on air, you know, and everything else. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to make this public for everybody because I don't like doing things behind the scenes and messing people up. So here's the public reality. Matt Bevin, I know you're listening to this show or you have someone that listens to this show that always has your ear. Let's make this real clear. You have refused to engage in answering reporters on a $200,000 Connecticut bailout that you received for your business last year when you're independently wealthy and did not need the taxpayer money. You have refused to answer those questions. You refused to engage on the nine tax liens that were placed against Bevin Bell under your tutelage, and you refused to answer how you could be portrayed as a leader of Bevin Bell since 2008. You won't give a response. Anybody and everybody who has listened to MVM Radio through the years, and we've been around for, six, 7 years now, knows and understands that we'd love to get candidates on air. As a matter of fact, at one time, the first year of our existence, and actually the first couple of years, I spent a hell of a lot of time making sure that we brought all candidates on air. I wanted every candidate on air. That included Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, Independents, you name it, they're there. Because I believe candidates deserve a voice. And for the most part, I wasn't disappointed. But in the last few years, these candidates have been wanting to get airtime, but they want to pull a Matt Bevin or an Allison Lundigan Grimes. They want to give you a campaign speech and not talk and answer questions. This show relies on one thing. We've always been honest about it. We've never lied about it. My good friend in the daggone chat room right now knows this well, but this is for you.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
That's one of Dale the Truth's big audios. But that's exactly what we're looking for. If you want to come on this show and you want our listeners to pay attention to you and to listen to your message, then you have to come at us open and honest. Now, you can talk to any guest we've ever had on this show, from Democrats to Republicans. You can include mayor candidates, state congressional candidates, Rand Paul. Rand Paul, we introduced Rand Paul to the Louisville market. He's been on our show 3 or 4 times when he was campaigning. And you ask them, very gracious folks, I'm not going to beat you up and scream and yell at you. All I ask is that you have a fair, honest discourse, that you answer the questions honestly. You don't play the political 5-minute campaign stump speech telling me something that has absolutely nothing to do with the question. So from Matt Bevin, Allison Lundigan Grimes, anybody else, you have your people contacting us wanting airtime, that's fine. That's fine. But you come at us honest, because I'm not the courier. I'm not the news channels. We don't play those games here. The people that listen to our show go out and they vote. So there you go. That's as simple as I can make it for you guys. I'm not going to play this game where you're going to come in here and start screwing around, lying to the people who trust us to bring them the truth. That's the bottom line. Now, here's one for you. I'm going to get off of that rant for a minute. I'm going to give you funny news of the day, because I think this is folks, you're going to love this. Jeff Bezos, he's the founder of Amazon.com. Jeff Bezos says that he was browsing through Amazon's website, not really paying much attention to what he was doing, and he clicked on the Washington Post newspaper by mistake and actually bought the Washington Post for $250 million on his American Express card. I guess if you've got an American Express card, it'll let you charge out $250 million. You're doing pretty damn good in this world, I'm sure, especially if you own Amazon. But forgive me, man. I've got a little cough here. But it's fascinating, because he said he was just kind of, you know, going through browsing websites and stuff, and accidentally bought the Washington Post. So, you know, and he's sitting here. He said he called his credit card company. And, you know, the credit card company said, hey, you were charged for the entire purchase price of the entire Washington Post. Now, Bezos goes on to tell everybody, you know, it's just crazy. No way in hell would he even buy the Washington Post, because he doesn't even read the Washington Post. But it's fascinating. And here's the kicker. He was on the phone with the Washington Post customer service for most of the day, and he was trying to get this thing taken care of. And he goes on to tell us that the only thing the Washington Post customer service is doing is giving him the runaround. He said he keeps telling them he don't know how it got in his cart, his purchase cart, but he doesn't want it, and they're making it impossible to return it. Now, when you think about the Washington Post and a whole host of other of these so-called, you know, mainstream news people, you know, you think they would have a hassle trying to let you return something? You betcha. You know, that's the way it is. Once we get rid of it, we don't want it back, man. We know it's full of garbage. We don't want it back. I just find that a very humorous story. Thought you guys might, too. We're going to take one more quick break before we get out of here. We'll come back with final thoughts, a little bit of a rant. And, you know, just stay tuned. We'll be right back. You listen to the Ed Spencer Show on the MVM Radio Network.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
We are back, folks. This song is Someday by JT502. The local audience probably knows it very well. It's been heard quite a bit on Kiss FM at one point. I tell you, you know, it's says it all, though, really. You know, everything will be okay someday. We know it's hard, but everything will be okay someday. You know, I love the song. The song is actually written by JT502, and he happens to be my son. It's rare that I would put his song on a radio like this, but I wanted to do it tonight just because I was listening to it the other day, and I was thinking, I know it's hard for you, but everything will be okay someday. Sounds like a liberal mantra, doesn't it? You know, just hang on. It'll be okay someday. When does someday get here? You know, but anyway, folks, we've got so much going on. Stick close. I want you to stick tight. Really pay attention to what's going on over the next couple of weeks. This whole deal with Jerry Abramson, this education center, the workplace training facility with Greg Fisher, Kevin Cosby, this is going to be huge. And we still haven't even gotten into the big stuff. Tomorrow night, I'm even going to give my buddy Dale a heads up because I know he's in the chat room. I want to get into this Benghazi a little bit more and what's really going on with the CIA cover-up and those kind of things. And then I really want to get into, and I promised I wanted to get into it tonight. Didn't quite work out that way, thanks to Jerry Abramson. But I want to get into some kind of these reports around the country of what's going on, you know, TSA, things like that. But I want to get into some of this police stuff. You know, we've got police killing 95-year-old guys. You know, 95-year-old guys. We've got police who are giving incentives to seize property and cash in a drug raid that never brings in any charges. They're giving bonuses depending on how much they bring in. A lot of this stuff is disturbing, and it's destroying freedom and liberty in America. So tomorrow night, I want to get into some of that with our good friend Dale the Truth. In the meantime, that's a wrap for tonight. Don't forget, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, we will be here with Dale the Truth. Dale, of course, returns Thursday night solo for his TNT Thursday Night Truth show, and our good friend Kim Molman on Sunday at 7. And all shows are posted in their entirety at LouisvillePolitics.com, where you can also hear us on Stitcher Radio and iTunes as well. So have a great night, folks. It's been a pleasure dealing with you. See you tomorrow.